Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is Wednesday, March the 14th, and we have a great show lined up for today, a little different lineup as far as participants. Brad is out of town today, so he will not be joining us. And also, our producer is a little different today. We have Alan Dobrinsky as the producer of today's show. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good.
I was talking with you earlier, and I just want to inform our listeners that you are a longtime producer of these shows. You've been around much longer than Trevor, so I welcome your experience.
Oh, yeah. I've been around a little bit. I'm from the Alpharetta studio. I am the main engineer there.
That's great. Thanks, Alan, for being with us. Joining us today is Jeff Morris. Jeff is a agent representative of Mutual of Omaha. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, Sam.
Jeff has a conversation or is going to have a conversation with us today about who he is and Mutual of Omaha, but more importantly about the services that he and Mutual of Omaha provide to our typical listening audience, those who are in the senior market or have relatives that may be. So with that, Jeff, we certainly welcome you. I just will begin by saying Jeff grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and has been in Atlanta now for a little more than 20 years. And he and I were talking about that transition. He seemed to think there was no problem at all. So I was explaining that that's relative to where you're originally from. For West Virginia, Atlanta is a big city.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Why don't you begin, Jeff, by telling us again a little bit of your background, telling us where you're from. How did you come to be with Mutual of Omaha?
Originally, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, like we talked about. I attended college in Rhode Island, Johnson & Wales University, and I got to Atlanta in 1989. And I've been actually in sales all those years. Joined Mutual of Omaha probably a little under 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And my basic practice is a risk management practice within Mutual of Omaha.
Okay.
And I work with families and individuals and business owners, and I help them plan and protect against some of the things that can go wrong in life so they can enjoy life later on down the line.
Tell us a little bit of Mutual of Omaha, if you will, a little background of the company and where they are located.
Well, Mutual of Omaha, everybody knows and remembers from Wild Kingdom with Sam Perkins and Merlin Perkins on TV and sending the young guy into the swamp to fight with the alligators.
Our listening audience might not remember right. that. I remember that, but who knows if they do. Go ahead.
But Mutual of Omaha has been around for more than 100 years, and we specialize in life insurance. We did a little health insurance some time ago, and we basically put systems in place to help families protect against some of the things that are not too positive when it comes to living.
For our listeners, Jeff, explain the difference between a mutual company and a stock company.
A mutual company is owned by the policyholders. So the policyholders are the ones that dictate how the company is going to be run, versus a stock company where the board and the people that invest in the companies, those are the ones that tell the folks what to do.
And I want to develop that because I think that is pertinent for today's environment. Mm-hmm. Why is a mutual company more advantageous? Obviously, as a policy holder, I guess I have some type of ownership, but how does that really benefit me from the economic financial standpoint?
Because we spend our money on things that's going to improve for the clients. You rarely see Mutual of Omaha advertising on TV because we take those money and we put them back into the business so we can help develop better products, better solutions, and provide better service for the clients.
Yeah, and as you and I were speaking, I have a long history in that arena. As a stock company, a certain amount of profits must be given back to the stock owners in whatever form that that may be, whether it be 12%. Most people, it's probably changed a little bit over the last two or three years, but it wasn't very long ago in the late 2000s that they were wanting a 20%, and you stop and carve out 20% of your profits, it has a big impact. And as a policy owner in a mutual company, those proceeds at 15 or 20% goes back into the competitiveness of the product or the higher level service or something like that. It's a very, very beneficial relationship. Why you mentioned to me, and you just said that you were in sales, and you made a transition to Mutual of Omaha. Why?
Because of the brand and what it stood for. It was a pride behind Mutual of Omaha. A lot of people that I grew up with, my parents, during that time coming up, you could look at Mutual of Omaha and feel good about doing business with a company like that. Service is there, and not only service for the clients, but service for the agents who work for the clients. When I make a call, I know I'm going to get a good answer. I know I'm going to get taken care of, so I can expedite that service to my clients. And that was really, really important to me. Because, you know, working in corporate America, you're the face of the organization. When they see you, you're representing the organization. So you have to have that support staff back at home, back on the ranch, if you will, to help you succeed out there.
Yeah, that's good. It's a two-way street, as I like to describe it. It brings a higher level, personal level of service to the client. The flip side of that is that the representative or the agent also receives a higher level of service, which just translates to a better care of the client.
The client, yeah.
Tell us a little bit of what your day is like. What does it start to develop in, for our listeners as to what you do and the services that you and Mutual of Omaha offer?
I educate my clients. And I develop relationships. And I think that when you focus on developing the relationships and the trust, that they will listen to you with open ears. And my typical day consists of meeting with clients, calling them to set appointments, following up, wishing them happy birthdays, anniversaries, and just staying in touch with them because needs change. And if I can't help them, I can possibly help a friend or a family member and just educate them on some of the things that they need to prepare for down the road.
When you first get a lead, is what we'll talk, a prospect, so to speak, and you are speaking with this prospect for the first time, what's the main thing you're attempting to do?
Understand what they're trying to accomplish. You have to understand the end goal. Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind, and that's what I do. So if they want to retire at 67 or if they want to protect their income while they're working now.
You still have people that are thinking about retiring at 67. That's off the subject.
Right, no, but some people do, right?
I love them.
Not everybody is in that position, but you know, it's just thinking about what they want to do. They want to protect their family. They want to understand more about Social Security because they're 60 years old and they know in 5 years they're going to hit that number. So it's about educating them, finding out what they want to accomplish, and providing that information to them in a easy format because we have so much media happening right now that it's a lot of activity. And when you turn 64, your mailbox starts to triple with information. So you want to have somebody that's going to cut through that and make it simple for you.
And again, as we were talking earlier, I understand and I certainly am very aware of Mutual of Omaha. What I hear and what I sense is that you become the advisor, the expert. One of the problems I got in today's world, in today's electronic media world, is typically the end user must be the expert in all things. I mean, you've got to know how to make your trades, your stock trades electronically. You got to know how to handle your new high-tech phone. You got to know how to set up your Wi-Fi. I can't be all things to everything. I need help. And that's what I sense you and Mutual of Omaha probably try to do most, is be the helper, the assistant to that individual that has these problems.
That's exactly it. And you said, when I meet with somebody, understanding what they would like to accomplish and then helping them along that way, and just taking baby steps. Because when they begin to trust you, that's when it opens up and more opportunity usually develops from that.
About a relationship, is that what it's about?
That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. Tell us, and as you know, Ujiria is geared towards the senior population. So tell us what Mutual of Omaha, or how you and Mutual of Omaha fill needs within that marketplace.
With the marketplace aging, we help in several areas. One is educating them on Social Security and the things that they need to look forward to and be prepared to deal with. The other thing is health care costs. When they turn 65, they receive assistance from Social Security and Medicare Part A and Part B. Mm-hmm. There are two other parts that a lot of people don't know about, and you have to get those completed so that you have a complete package. That's a Medicare supplement plan or a Medicare Advantage plan.
Okay, and develop those two areas for us.
Okay. With your Medicare supplement plan, it keeps up with the 20% that is not met by Social Security, right? So you have to have a complete package because healthcare costs are rising. And when you do not have those things in place, whatever you have saved for retirement, for savings in any event, that can get eaten up really quickly with that.
For our listeners, and let's talk theory for those out there in our audience. This is not an absolute situation. We're talking what if here. You have you're 67 and you have Medicare, and you have some type of catastrophic illness or disease. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, once it's treated and hopefully you're cured and all this, you've incurred, let's use a round number, of $100,000 in medical bills.
Right.
All right. And by the way, that's not an unreasonable number today.
Not at all.
You said that there is a 20% that Medicare doesn't cover. That is called the copay.
Correct.
All right. How does that get paid for?
You either self-insure or you go with a company
And that's great. Great terminology. Let me clarify self-insured. Okay. It's the industry's lingo saying you're on the hook. That's right. We want to paint it a little bit and make it look pretty. But the bottom line, the 20% is, if you do not buy some type of supplemental insurance, you are insured.
That's right.
But it's with your checkbook.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. Okay. And that is so important, because people don't realize, you know, you may look good on the outside. You may have done everything possible for 64 years. But once you turn 65 and you're not on your own insurance and you're being taken care of by the government, you have to cover that gap. Because that gap can wipe you out financially, and you don't know what your health is going to predict in the future.
Interesting where we are, and we're kind of moving a little bit off-centered. Without, I know you're not a future a fortune teller, but what do you see happening coming down the road in healthcare in the next 4 or 5 years, and I guess I better qualify that. What's going to be the effect on the consumer, on the individual, you and I?
It's going to be a big financial chance.
The financial burden is going to be shift more and more from the government to the individual.
Yeah. People are living longer, and because you're living longer, you need to plan for that. Healthcare costs are rising. Inflation is going up. Your stocks and your assets are changing. So if you don't plan accordingly, those are going to be the things that take care of you in your older age.
Okay. Tell us what differentiates Mutual of Omaha's products versus the many out that are out there.
I believe that the customer service that you receive from your representative, the person you're working with, how long we've been in the senior market. We're one of the most solid companies in the senior market. People are familiar with our brand and our name. When you go to the doctor and you show him your Mutual of Omaha Medicare supplement card, it's an easy transition. I'll give you an example. I have a client who turned 65 2 years ago, and last year he was diagnosed with melanoma cancer. Mm-hmm. And he wrote me a thank you letter because he said, Jeff, if I did not have this in place, all our savings would have been gone.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just about doing the right thing and educating him and taking my time to understand, you know, where he wanted to be.
And let's draw the light up on that subject. Stop and think about the example we used just a few minutes ago of a $100,000 bill, and you know you're going to have a 20% copay. That's $20,000. I ask a question to our listening audience. How many people really can sit down and just afford to stroke a check for $20,000 and take that away from their savings, their retirement, whatever nest egg they might have, and get rid of it? Again, it's a tremendous, tremendous burden. I need to move on and change the subject a little bit. You've spoken about the acute medical care situation, i.e. the supplemental Medicare. Tell us a little bit about long-term care. Tell us what it is, what it pays for, the product that Mutual of Omaha brings to the market.
Long-term care is probably one of the most important things people need to consider as they age. And the best time to look at that is when you are between the age of probably 50 and 55. You know, 60 is really pushing because your health starts to change. And what long-term care does is it helps you keep your money in your pocket. It's an insurance policy that is going to help you with in-home care, assisted facility, and retirement homes. So it picks up that cost that will come if you have to be admitted or if you have to have care come into the home.
Well, but I thought that's what Medicare and the Medicare supplement did. What's the difference there?
It's a big difference. Social Security takes care of about 100 days, and they'll send someone into the house to care for you. But after that, back again, you're self-insured. And if you do not have something in place prior to you having an illness, you have to pay for it on a daily basis.
Okay, now let me clarify. Does Mutual of Omaha's policy, long-term care policy, does that pay for a RN to come into my house and take care of me?
Yes.
Okay, so it pays for skilled care?
Skilled care, yes.
All right, does it pay for non-skilled care?
Yes.
Okay, so Mutual of Omaha, and for our listening audience, this is a little different. Each company is set up a little differently. So Mutual of Omaha will pay for a nurse to come in to treat a wound from a skilled standpoint. So the long-term care then, so what you're going to have Medicare that's going to at some level paying for that. Then you have your Medicare supplement.
Yes.
And then the third layer would be your long-term care?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Develop for our listening audience the non-medical side of long-term care, and obviously that's dear to my heart, as you know, so
right.
Speak to that.
The non-medical side is if you have an illness, a mental illness, or Alzheimer's, or you have to go into a facility, and once you go into the facility, you're cared for by other people. So you're out of your home going into a facility, and they're taking care of you. And the long-term care policy pays that facility on your behalf.
Is Mutual of Omaha's only a facility policy? Does it pay for care received, non-skilled care received in the home?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it does.
What are the... how am I going to ask this question without giving you the answer? There are five categories or six, I can't even remember now, categories of that they look at for non-skilled. What are those?
The ADL.
There you go. Right. I didn't want to give you the answer.
The activities of daily living. You have something that someone's going to cook for you, help you clean up, keep the house clean, if you could put your clothes on. So as far as taking care of yourself, if you cannot do, you know, 4 to 6 of those functions, then that qualifies you for the coverage.
It's I know this, but I want to again develop it for our listeners. Most people are sitting there saying, "Okay, well, I have savings to do that, or I have a family member that will do that." And the bottom line is, in today's world, especially if you're going to be dependent upon a family member, that's a crapshoot, because we are so transient in our society as far as new jobs and relocation. Your family member might not be there 2 years from now, and then that puts you in the dilemma of either relocating with them, following your family member, or where do you go? So that again builds the case for in-home non-skilled care. Do you have any numbers, and I might be putting you on the spot, I want to impress the financial burden that this type of care can represent, and then take it a step further. Do you have any idea as to what the average cost of non-skilled in-home care for a particular insured might be?
In the state of Georgia, it is anywhere between $50,000 and $70,000 on an annual basis. And that adds up really quickly.
All right, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but take that number. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about an acute setting where you had a $100,000 total bill. You were liable for 20% or $20,000.
Right.
Now we're talking about a situation that you potentially could be liable for $50,000 or $75,000. With those numbers, no one can argue which is more important, okay? Now, I recognize that number skewed because everyone doesn't receive a year's worth of long-term care. But my 6-7 years in this business, I can, and my company's been around for 20 years, I can tell you that the average client of ours is a 44-hour per week client. Extrapolate that, you hit those numbers that you were speaking of. Mm-hmm. And that's average. Now, that doesn't mean everyone, obviously, but that's average. And Medicare doesn't pay for that.
No, Medicare does not. And people need to realize, they need to really understand that Medicare is not going to pay for their long-term care needs. Mm-hmm. And that's the part about educating folks. And sometimes it's too late for the person that needs the care. So you have to try to get to the caregiver, because they're the ones. You talked about family members taking care of them. It's a full-time job.
Yeah.
You just said 40 hours a week.
That's right.
So what is the daughter, and it usually falls on the oldest female child, what is she going to do? Is she going to stop working to take care of mom or dad?
And even if she doesn't have a job, she's probably got young children. So what? Yeah.
It's not fair for you to expect your child or someone else to take care of you, because they have their life to live as well.
Yeah.
And whatever savings you have, just imagine it being clipped by $70,000 every year. How long is that going to last?
I mean, let's be reasonable. Let's be more conservative. Let's say, as you use your term, like it being clipped. Let's say it's only clipped by $25,000 or $30,000 a year. I mean, how many years can the normal middle class individual write a check for that amount? I know. I mean, my listening audience have heard my personal story many times. I'll be very quickly with you. Just so, my father, was in Charleston, West Virginia. We had care for him for 5 years around the clock, and we wrote a check for $30,000 at least $30,000 every year for 5 years. Now, he was fortunate that he had the means to cover it. But he also had about 15 years earlier, about 10 years before the beginning of this, the opportunity to purchase a long-term care policy that was going to cost him $6,000 a year. Now, that was big money, but he would have ended up, over that 10 years, spending $60,000 in premium. We paid out
$150,000.
There you go.
It's the numbers. And it's usually the people who either don't have the health that is willing to spend the money versus the people that don't have the money, but don't they have the money and they don't want to spend it on the health.
And I don't want to kind of stab you in the back here. I know that in the marketplace there are new products, which are products that are, quote, guaranteeing premium back or are combined with a death benefit. You know, unique combinations. Is Mutual of Omaha looking, or are they doing anything in those lines?
We have those as well, where you can have a return of premium, or you can put it into an annuity and then have the money saved up. So when you want to start drawing down on it, you can do that. Or if you need to have long-term care assistance, you can take that money and put it towards your long-term care needs.
A couple of other quick issues. From an underwriting standpoint, what are the underwriting qualifications for Mutual of Omaha? Is there anything that immediately is a red flag? How do you look at it?
No, you know, we do a thorough underwriting process because we don't want to bring anybody into the Mutual of Omaha world that we know is going to be a potential problem. And what that does is it drains the resources from us servicing our other clients. So we do a thorough underwriting when it comes to bringing somebody aboard.
For our listening audience, let me tell you, this is the type of underwriting you want. I know many of you might say it's not fair because then you are going to somehow discriminate against those individuals that have a health problem. And in reality, and I say this not to be curt, but that's business. You have to be able to cover your risk. And the only way you cover your risk is by charging premium. And so if you, I've said this time and time again, and people, when I draw this, they understand. Relate it to your automobile insurance. If you tried to insure a car that had 155,000 miles on it, that had been in four wrecks, a taillight was hanging out, what would they charge you to insure that car? They're going to charge you more than if you're driving a brand new, clean, safe car. That only makes sense,
right?
Because the risk is greater. And unfortunately, the same thing applies to the people, human side of it. Now, please, I'm going to qualify it. I'm not getting into the morality of this. I understand you're dealing with humans, not a car. But from a business standpoint, the principles apply, and you have to recognize that. Sam Grass soapbox. I'll get off.
I'll tell you a quick story. I have one of my clients called me yesterday. She broke her ankle the other day, and she wanted to know what I could do for her for disability coverage. And last year, I was trying to help her with this, and she said it was too expensive. Mm-hmm. So she calls me yesterday to find out what I can do. I can't help you.
House is on fire.
Right.
You can't insure it.
You can't because you're hurt already. So you have to do it. If it was expensive then, it's even more expensive now.
And let me and listen again from my experience. I want to throw a piece of a positive information to our listeners. Just because you are 60, 65, just because you are 70, doesn't mean you can't get this. Now, it probably means you will be paying a higher premium. My parents, when I showed them that policy I spoke of, my mother was 78 years old. My father was 74, and they were still able to get it.
Wow, yeah, because okay. They were probably obviously in good health.
They were in good health, yeah. But, I mean, obviously, it was a $6,000 a year premium, and that is, again, that is substantially higher than what a 60-year-old would be paying for a five-year lifespan policy. Great information, Jeff. Tell us why you do what you do. Tell us you know, I mean, I understand because I come out of the industry that it's a rat race. And, of course, I don't know that what isn't, but it's a rat race. But why do you do this?
Because I care. And, you know, it's noble work. You know, my wife gives me...
Why is it no? You saw me light up. What a great description! I love it. Why do you use that? Why is it noble work?
Because you're helping another human being, and you know, in my previous jobs, I was selling widgets, right? I was selling solutions to problems, business problems, but it wasn't that human connection there. But with this, you know, imagine. If you deliver a check to somebody when their spouse passed away, you know, that relationship, that comfort that you're bringing because they're going through so many different things. You know, when my clients write me letters and say, Jeff, thank you for helping me because I was diagnosed with XYZ cancer last year. And if I didn't have this in place, I don't know what I would have. Those things mean a lot to me, you know, and I feel good. Now, it's few and far between. It's getting more and more often, but it's noble, noble work.
I love your answer. That's great. As you saw my reaction when you said it, it warms my heart mm-hmm. to hear you speak those terms. Jeff, this is great information. Is there anything else that that I've overlooked? I know that I've been involved in this conversation a lot, and that's because I know a little bit about it, but is there anything else that you would like to speak of about what you're doing or Mutual of Omaha?
Yeah, I just want people to keep their minds open and listen to people who are in this business to help them plan for the future because it's not if, but it's when.
It's not if we're going to grow old.
It's when.
Yeah.
And we have probably lived a very healthy young life. But you never know. The age takes, my dad used to say, age is not just a number, but it does a number on you.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was laughing. The real quick story, I was at the gym the other day, and as my listeners know, I'm in my mid-late 50s, and I came out of the gym, and there was three guys, myself and two other, all about the same age, and the other two gentlemen were just really whining about, oh, you know, my shoulder, I got a rotator cuff in my knee, and the doctor says this, and it's going to be, you know, 4 to 6 months of rehab, and blah, 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 and one of them turned around, and I kind of chimed in, and he turned around, and he goes, you know, my mama once said that growing old's not for sissies.
Right. Well, you know, I just want to be there. I want to be a resource to people. And it's about developing the relationships, giving them information, and then being there to answer questions when it comes up because it's going to come up. And if it's not for them, it's for somebody they care about, somebody they know. So it's just about helping folks.
That's great. Great show, and we're just about out of time. Tell us what a piece of advice you might give to our listeners as they – hear this and they're saying, hey, it's time for me to start thinking along these lines to do either something for my parents or for myself. What piece of advice could you give them as they start that process?
Call a professional with a quality company and understand what their options are because the longer you wait, the more expensive it's going to be or you may not be insurable at all.
Great, great information, Jeff. Really was a pleasure having you on the show. Would like to openly invite you back down the road if we can figure out how to bring the appropriate subject to our listeners.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. We want to thank Jeff for being our guest. I certainly thank Alan for doing the behind-the-scenes work. And I want to remind our listeners that if they want to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at ugeriaradio.com. And as we always close, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.